hope, encouragement, and direction. Who among us don't desire those simple elements of life? Well, they could be found right here in God's Word, and we'll look at them in depth here today on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. It's all right here in God's Word. Everything we need pertaining to life and godliness. That's what's been promised us. Won't you join us for the next few minutes as we take a look at some of those promises, some of those challenges and encouragement from God's Word. This is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. We would invite you to join us for the next few minutes as we study God's Word together that we might grow in grace. Here now with this edition of Abounding Grace, once again, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
So glad that you have tuned in to Abounding Grace today. I am Pastor Chris Gordon of the Linden United Reformed Church, and this week we're going to go to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 16, where the Apostle Paul is going on his missionary journeys, and he's advancing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I want to look at this crucial issue this week of how did evangelism, how did the gospel go forth? What was the method and the means that they used to advance this? What sort of confidence did they have? It's interesting that in Acts chapter 16, Paul comes to the city of Philippi, and he meets this women's prayer group out by the river. And there we read in verse 14 of Acts chapter 16, "Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul," and then she would go on, her entire household, to be baptized. But it's a fascinating study because a few things happened there I want you to notice. That Paul spoke, Lydia heard, and the Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. What do we really believe happens anymore when the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is preached? What happens in the ministry of the church when the Word of God is faithfully preached? And what sort of confidence do we have in that? We know people today don't like to be preached at. We come today, pastors at least do, with all sorts of assumptions that people anymore don't want deep Bible expositions. They don't want to be preached to. They don't want to be confronted, but they want practical lessons for their life. And this pressure to turn preaching into that sort of social gospel forum has happened on such unprecedented levels that we have forgotten anymore what a sermon should sound like or what it should be. That's an important point and question to ask. Do we know anymore the kind of preaching that is effective, done in the power of the Holy Spirit to actually change people's lives, that kind of powerful preaching, as opposed to the ideas of men that are nice self-helps for your life? Slowly, we have seen preaching evolve into messages and now into short lessons. So we've gone anymore from the sermon to the message to the lesson because we are fearful of people's response. And you know, years ago in the Christian church, it was just common on a given Sunday across denominational lines, across these barriers that have been erected, you would generally go into a church, and in each of the two services that were given across denominational lines again, the Word of God preached was the focus of the service. Now today, typically what's already being done away with is the second service. Most people don't like to come back at night, so pastors and churches have just felt that we can eliminate the second service. And so it's interesting that people today generally, if the word is faithfully preached, probably get on average about 15 to 20 minutes of the preaching of the gospel. And that's then mixed in with all the stories and all the ideas and all the little practical nuggets that come along with it. The striking thing is Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. There was a reason across denominational lines that years ago they had two services, and the focus in both of those services was the expositional preaching of Christ and Him crucified. They believed that that was the power of God chosen to save. Well, let me ask today, in the elimination of the second service and the elimination of expositional preaching to go to topical messages, have we really seen people strengthened in their love for the Bible? Have we really seen people grow in the Christian faith on unprecedented levels? Have we really instilled in people a deep love and knowledge of the Word of God? Look, we know the answer to that. What happens in this kind of environment? Does the Lord bless churches that don't have confidence in His Word preached? Two possibilities. Number one, as Revelation points out, a church's candlestick can be removed, meaning that the church can just go on and go on, and it's a dying church because the Lord's presence is not there. It's just dying. Or it can become a synagogue of Satan. And what do you think Satan's going to do? Well, I think he could fill up a church really well with a lot of entertainment. The point is that we're not left with the impression that preaching anymore is the means and the way that God has chosen to save. That's not saying he can't save in other ways. It's not putting him in a box, as some would say. It's saying that God has told us what he likes to choose to use to save so that the glory goes to him. The foolishness of the message preached, the message that he's given to us. And if churches begin to devalue that, if I as a pastor devalue that, nothing else I do in the life of the church can fill that void that sinners need if they are truly hungering and thirsting after righteousness. I will only end up meeting some sort of social need, but nothing will be done in the life-changing power of the Holy Spirit. But we haven't expressed a lot of confidence about the preaching of the gospel anymore. And I say this today on Abounding Grace, and I say this throughout the week because I never want our listeners, I never want any of you in churches to lose an understanding of why we value a word and a sacrament ministry. We see this through the book of Acts. We hear the calls throughout the Bible, something like 2 Timothy 2. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed. You don't need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Yeah, there's nothing outwardly glorious about it. There's nothing that ultimately appeals to our flesh. As I've said before, you all can be entertained 6 days a week. Why do you feel the need to be entertained when you come to worship? It's not about that. It's about rightly dividing the word of truth so that God using this very weak means of the foolishness of the message preached, the glory goes to him when he changes the heart through a message that is not outwardly or even aesthetically in how we present it and how it looks pleasing to us. There's nothing outwardly glorious. And yet the Lord honors this confidence in what he has told us to do. I mean, this has always been the truth in the Bible. I think of, in this connection, you know, Gideon. When Gideon had, 32,000 men, and they were going to go to battle against the Midianites, and the Lord said, no way, too many. And he dwindled them down to 300 men. Who would dare go into a war with 300 men against a mighty nation in the earth? And what did the Lord say? He did that so that Israel would not say when the victory came that they had the victory. Well, how often in the Christian world do we hear about how many conversions and how many people are coming to church, and we tally up numbers as if the glory is of man's great innovations and insight? The Lord uses weak means, foolish means, and that totally breaks down our pride and self-confidence. 300 weak men of Gideon defeated the Midianites. Our whole ministry is patterned the same. And we are to have confidence in these weak means of preaching and sacrament that God has chosen as he receives the glory as sinners are pulled out of darkness and brought into this marvelous light. Well, that's our focus this week. And we're going to look at this play out in the book of Acts. I want you to think about this, this pattern of word and sacrament. Is that what the apostles did as they took the gospel and advanced the gospel to the ends of the earth? Here's what I want to focus on. I want to, before we jump into Acts this today and this week, I want to ask, we've been considering justification by faith alone on Abounding Grace and how a sinner is right with God. Let me ask today, how does the Holy Spirit produce faith in our hearts? If you're justified by faith alone, and faith is the instrument by which we apprehend and embrace Christ and all of his merits and all of his righteousness, where do we get that faith? Where do you receive faith to embrace Christ? This is the grand question that I'm dealing with this week. Where does it come from? Well, you can't manipulate it by your emotions. You can't manipulate it with good music. You can't manipulate it with messages that tickle people's ears. Paul is telling us, the scriptures are showing us, the Lord has declared to us that such faith is a gift of God that comes through the means of the preaching of the gospel. And then the Lord confirms that with the sacrament. So in other words, the primary way that God gives us faith to receive Christ and all of his merits, to receive the imputation of the righteousness of Christ, his perfect life, his perfect law keeping for you, and his death that removes the curse, comes through the means that he has chosen to grant you the faith to receive those benefits. So you understand this connection this week, how confused we can be when we speak of all these other things in the kingdom that we place more value on and more focus upon than the chosen means of the gospel preached. We've got it backwards today, and we forget what is needed the most. And I want you to notice this model here in Acts. I leave you with this passage today, and then we'll mine it for all that it's worth this week on Abounding Grace. Now, a certain woman named Lydia heard us. What did they hear? They heard the message preached. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshiped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. Who opened the heart? Not Paul. The Lord opens and closes the heart. The Lord opens and closes the heart to receive the things of Jesus Christ. What our responsibility is in the Christian church is to ensure that we are faithful to what he has commanded us to do. Woe is me, said Paul, if I do not preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. When that is faithfully done, we will see sinners' hearts open to this great truth because the Lord is the opener of the heart. The Linden United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. We preach expositionally through books as we're going through currently in the morning the book of Exodus and at night studying the key doctrines of the Christian faith. Come, join us for worship. 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. are the worship service times. You can visit us on the web at lindenurc.com. Also have a blog address where you can interact with the messages, christopherjgordon.blogspot.com. Again, join us this Sunday, 10 a.m., 7 p.m., phone numbers 360-318-0429. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.